Be turning to Philippians chapter 2, if you would, please. Philippians, the second chapter. The second chapter of the book of Philippians centers around an example that Paul uses to teach us an important message. A message not only to the believers at Philippi, but also to believers today of the first century, including me and also including you. And the message that stands out to us in this second chapter is basically the fact that following Christ means living a lifestyle of selfless, sacrificial service. Those who follow Christ must have a servant's heart and be willing to live a selfless and sacrificial life. Those who are going to live for the Lord must live selfless lives that are characterized by the fact that we place the needs of others ahead of our own. This church at Philippi was a great church. It was greatly used of God and was a tremendous blessing to Paul and his ministry, as well as you read through the letter. But they still had a few problems because of various people in the church that weren't getting along very well. And two of them are named in chapter 4 and verse number 2, a couple of ladies in the church who were having some difficulty. And we should assume that there may have been others as well. Just weren't getting along with each other very well. And at the very heart of their problem that they were having between one another was just a self-centered attitude. As a matter of fact, that's usually the problem where there's disunity, where there's problems in family life. Usually, when you get to the root cause of it, usually self-centeredness and selfishness is the cause. When there are problems between believers in church or in any other kind of setting, most of the time when you get to the heart of the problem, selfishness and self-centeredness indeed is usually what the problem is. And Paul addresses the problem. As a matter of fact, in verse number 2, here's what he writes. He says, "Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love and being of one accord, of one mind. And let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, motivated by a desire to look better than somebody else, or a desire to strive or to fight with someone, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Now that'll take care of most of the problem, but just in case we didn't get it, verse 4 is there. "Let not every man, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." In other words, the Apostle Paul begins to deal with the problem in the life of the church at Philippi, begins to deal with it by telling them to be like-minded. I want you to remember that word in verse number 2, because we're going to deal with it again in a few moments. It's the idea of being like-minded, that is, of being of one mind, of one purpose, and that is, it is believers who are single-minded, who have the same mind, and it's not their mind. It is indeed the mind of Christ. Verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And so he tells them to be like-minded. And to do that, they needed to be of one accord. And they needed to value others more than they valued themselves. And that they needed to put the needs of others ahead of their own. Those are the basic principles that are being taught here. That's the basic message that the apostle is trying to teach them. He's trying to move them away from their selfishness and their self-centeredness to living a selfless, sacrificial lifestyle that actually puts others ahead of ourselves. And he uses an example to demonstrate the kind of selfless, sacrificial lifestyle that he's writing about. And the example that he uses is the example of Emmanuel. That is, you and I looked in verses 1 through 8 of this chapter, we looked at the example of Emmanuel, the selflessness that was demonstrated by our Lord whenever he came into this world, when he was conceived in the womb of Mary and was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger, and as he lived his life as a servant or as a slave, and went all the way to the point of death, even the awful agonizing death on the cross. Paul lays that out there in verses 1 through 8, making it clear indeed that Jesus lived, he came, he lived, and he died selflessly and sacrificially. And so those who follow him, that is, who become followers of Christ, if we're going to live out the Christ life, the life of Christ that we've received when he saved us, then that means that you and I are going to have to live out a selfless, sacrificial life. If you and I try to live a selfish life, then listen to me now, we grieve the Spirit of Christ who lives on the inside of us. God's goal in our life is to cause us to become like Christ, to be conformed to his image. And listen, whenever you and I become conformed to his image, then that means we're going to begin to act like he acted. We're going to think like he thought. We're going to have the mind of Christ and live out the life of Christ. And that is going to look like a selfless, sacrificial life. It's going to look like the heart of a servant, somebody who is all about serving God and serving others. So the basic message, when you look at the great example of our Lord, the example of Emmanuel, is indeed that following the example of Emmanuel, the example of Christ, means living a selfless, sacrificial lifestyle. And so when you keep reading, that is, when you keep working your way through this passage, when you get down to verse number 19, we find that the Apostle Paul gives us what I would call some models of the message. Some models of the message. If you were a clothing designer, that is, if you designed clothing that you wanted people to wear, that you wanted people to put on, you might get a model, hire a model to put on those clothes and wear those clothes so that everybody can see what they look like whenever somebody is wearing them. And even so it is today, we find in this passage that the Apostle Paul is wanting these folks to dress with new clothing. Some of you might have got new clothing at Christmas time, and you might be wearing that today. That is, you got some new clothes on, and even so he's wanting for them to put on something new. He wants for them to put on Christ, to put on the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, verse number 5. He wants for them to live out the life of Christ, to wear the life of Christ, so that everybody can see the selflessness and the sacrifice of Christ through them. That is, not only does he want them to tell people about Jesus dying on the cross, but he wants them to demonstrate what it looks like whenever the sacrificial Son of God, the one who lives so selflessly, is living on the inside of someone, what it looks like in a practical way on the outside. He taught them that principle. When you get down to verses 12 through about verse number 18 that we looked at, he taught them what that looks like. That is, when you live out the Christ life, the selfless, sacrificial lifestyle of the Son of God. But now he puts that on a model. And he models before them a model to help them see what it looks like when you're living out a selfless lifestyle, when you've got the heart of a servant. That is, whenever you're allowing Christ to live his life through you. As a matter of fact, he displays before them two models. These two guys, I would consider to be supermodels. I mean, they really demonstrate what it looks like. What it looks like to be a real follower of Christ, living out a selfless, sacrificial lifestyle that is the heart of a servant. The first model that I want us to look at for just a few moments that really models this message that Paul's been trying to teach them is a man by the name of Timothy. When you move to verses 19 through 24, your attention is shifted to a focus on a young man named Timothy. And as we focus on Timothy, we're going to see modeled in him a lifestyle of selflessness, a lifestyle of sacrifice. That is the man who really has the heart of a servant, who really is looking like what Emmanuel looks like, what Jesus looks like in the earlier part of this chapter. When you look at the example of Christ, somebody might say, but yes, I know that Jesus sacrificed himself for us, and I know the selflessness of our Lord to leave heaven's glory and come down to the earth. But listen, he's God. And all I am is just a person. I'm a fallen creature, redeemed indeed, but still have this old flesh, and I just can't live like the Lord lived. Well, listen, Timothy was not God. He was just a man. Like some of us, he had been taught the word of God as a child. That is, he had a mother named Eunice and a grandmother named Lois. And they were believers, and according to the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, they had taught Timothy the word of God. They had taught him the Old Testament. His father was a Greek, his mother was a Jew, and they had taught him the word of God. And as a young man, Timothy was brought to the point of receiving Christ as the Lord of his life. As a matter of fact, some believe that Paul may have been the one who was instrumental in pointing Timothy to Christ on his first missionary journey when he preached the gospel in Timothy's hometown of Lystra, that it may have been then that Timothy heard the gospel and he received Christ as the Lord of his life. When Paul went on a second missionary journey, it looks as though that as he was traveling through Lystra a second time, that it was then that Timothy began traveling with him on his second missionary journey. That is, this young man that got saved on his first missionary journey had developed a reputation of being a godly young man, a young man that could be counted on, that was faithful to the gospel and loved the Lord. And for that reason, Paul took him with him on his second missionary journey when he came through the town of Lystra. Let me show it to you in Acts chapter 16 real quick. Acts 16, the Bible says in verse number 1 that then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. Notice now, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium, which means this. That means when Paul got there, the brothers, the leaders of the churches there among the believers said, listen, we got a young man here named Timothy that got saved a little while back. When you're here on your first missionary journey, he's really growing in the Lord. He's serving the Lord. God is using him. He had a good reputation. He was well reported of by the believers there in the church. Verse 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him. And he took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And then he begins traveling with them then, beginning in verse number 4. So Timothy joins Paul on his second missionary journey. You say, Pastor, that sounds like a lot of fun. Well, when you read about the second missionary journey, you'll find out that this was not a fun trip. It was not a recreational trip, but indeed it was a mission trip that involved indeed persecution as well as evangelism. Not only were great things happening, but there was much opposition that was faced as Paul began to travel along with Timothy and others who were with him. Here's what I want you to see. Timothy was an ordinary man who got saved, surrendered his life to serve Christ in whatever way that he could. And whenever the opportunity came to travel with the Apostle Paul on the second missionary journey, Timothy went. Even though it would mean hardship and sacrifice, even though it meant persecution and difficulty, he went. And after Paul's death, many believe that Timothy continued to serve Christ by leading the church at Ephesus until he was martyred for the faith. But he was a young man who served alongside of the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, he became one of Paul's most trusted helpers. As a matter of fact, we're going to see in just a moment, he may have been the man that Paul trusted more than anybody else among those who traveled with him and helped him in this apostolic ministry. Timothy stands out as a model. And he is a model of the very message that Paul is preaching here. A message about what it means to really serve Christ in a sacrificial, selfless kind of way. If you're going to look like Jesus, you've got to live a selfless lifestyle that's more concerned about others than you are about yourself, that places the needs of others ahead of your own. If you're living a selfish lifestyle, that is, if you're self-centered and selfish and everybody around you knows it, you don't look anything like the Lord Jesus. And we find here a model for you to follow, that is for you to look at, that is a young man named Timothy. There are three things I want you to notice in these verses about Timothy. First of all, let's notice what Paul writes about his soon visit. Verse number 19, the Bible tells us, in our text, in verse number 19, Philippians 2:19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Verse 23, him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. So here's what Paul's writing. He's telling the Philippians here that he's trusting the Lord to let him send Timothy to Philippi to spend a little bit of time with these believers. In just a short while, he's going to send Timothy. Apparently, God's purpose for Timothy at the present time was to be with Paul in Rome, helping him. Paul's in Rome. He's under arrest in Rome. He's under house arrest, confined to a certain home. And Timothy is there with him, and he's there helping Paul, and apparently that's where God wants him. And Paul is awaiting a hearing before the Roman leaders. But Paul believed, according to the verses I just read, he believed that his situation in Rome was about to change. He's been under house arrest for a long time, months and months. But he believed that everything was about to change because he was about to have a hearing before the Roman leaders. And according to verse number 25, Paul was confident that he would be released by the Romans and would be able to continue the work of ministry, that he was not going to be executed, but that he would be released, and he was. He was arrested a second time, sometime later, and was eventually executed. But this time he was confident that he would be released. And so he looked forward to a possible trip to Philippi. That is, Paul is looking forward that if the Lord will allow him to, that after he's released, he's going to go to Philippi. He refers to that in verse 24 that we just read. Now, I'm giving you all this background because I want you to see Timothy standing out as a model in just a moment. Paul is trusting the Lord to allow him to make a visit to Philippi sometime in the future, indicating that he believed that he would indeed be released at some point and that he would not continue to be confined. And so as soon as Paul knew for sure how things were going to turn out in Rome, he was hoping then to send Timothy to Philippi. That's what he said in verse 23. As soon as I see how things are going to go with me, then I'm going to send Timothy. As soon as I have my hearing, I'm going to have Timothy remain here with me until the hearing. And when I find out how things are going to be, then I'll send him to you. And then he was trusting that he would be able to come at a later time when he was released later on. According to verse number 19, one of the reasons why Paul is going to send Timothy to Philippi was so that he could find out about their state. To find out about their state. To know your state. Or in other words, so that he could find out how they were doing. That is, how things were going with them. That is, how they were developing as a church and as believers in the things of God. According to verse number 19, Paul says that knowing how they were doing, their state, would be a source of comfort to him. Verse 19 again, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. I'm going to send Timothy so we can find out how you're doing, what your state is. And listen, when he comes back and tells me how you all are doing, it's going to bring great comfort to me. Listen, like a parent loves his children, Paul loved these believers at Philippi. And he was deeply concerned about them. He wanted to know what was happening with them. You see, he's not like it is in our day. He could not pick up a phone and call them. He couldn't text them. He couldn't FaceTime them or whatever it else that you can do with your phone. He couldn't just do that and he could not do any of those things. But listen, if he could just find out how things were going with them, that is, after he found out how things were going to turn out with him in Rome, then he said, I'll send Timothy, and then Timothy will go and find out, and he'll come back to me and bring the news about how you're doing. And Paul says, that will greatly comfort me if I can find out how it is that you're doing. Have you ever had that experience as a parent, parents, when you just had to get on the phone and find out? Just got to find out how they're doing. I've got a mama back home in Illinois. I went and saw her for a couple days this week. And one of the things that I've discovered about my mother, and the same is true about Teresa and her kids, and probably all of you as well, and that is, no matter how old I get, she still wants to know how I'm doing, right? She still wants to know about how I am doing. And it looks as though that it brings great comfort to her when she knows I'm okay. You know, if she can just lay eyes on me, we talk on the phone every week, but if she can just lay eyes on me every once in a while, and she's looking, you know, I mean, she's checking me out, and if there's anything about my appearance that's not like it normally is, she'll ask me something, you know, a question, in a general kind of way. But she wants to know, she wants to lay eyes on me, wants to know. And even so it is, this man, the Apostle Paul, loves these believers like a mother loves her children. He wants to know how it is that they're doing. So here's what happened. In order to bring comfort to Paul, Timothy was willing to travel all the way to Philippi and minister to these believers. I'm going to say that again because I want you to see where we're going. That is, in order to bring comfort to Paul, Timothy's willing to travel all the way to Philippi and minister to these believers. Timothy's soon visit to Philippi, that is, from Paul, was motivated by the fact that Paul was deeply concerned about these believers. And listen to me now, Timothy was willing to go through all the trouble of traveling that day to meet Paul's need for comfort. Listen, there's not anything that we see in these verses that indicate that this trip to Philippi would benefit Timothy in any way. There's not even a hint of it. That is, as Certainly not the fun of traveling. It's not like today when somebody says go, you put your shoes on and say, where are we going? It's not like you can get in a comfortable vehicle and travel. It's not like you can drive on safe roads like we do in our day. But traveling in this day was not only dangerous, but it was also a great hardship. It was not a fun thing to do. And apparently Timothy was willing to do that. That is, he was willing to travel all the way to Philippi, not because Timothy wanted to go or needed to go or because in order to bring comfort to himself, but in order that the Apostle Paul might be comforted. That is, Paul is saying, in order that I might be comforted, I'm going to send Timothy to know your state to find out how it is that you're doing. So Timothy, what I want you to see is that Timothy is more concerned about Paul's need for comfort than he is about his own personal need. He was willing to be uncomfortable. That is, he was willing to leave what may have been a comfortable place for him in Rome to experience the discomfort of travel in that day just so that Paul could be comforted. Do you see Timothy? He's standing out to us now as a model, isn't he? The model of a man who's willing to be uncomfortable so that Paul can be comforted. Willing to travel all that way to find out what's going on with the Philippians just so that the Apostle Paul could be comforted while he's under house arrest in Rome. It reminds me of what we read a few moments ago. That is back up in verse number 3. Remember that? Look at it again. Where the Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. It looks like Timothy is modeling that very principle, isn't he? And in verse number 4, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, it looks like Timothy's modeling that very principle. The very principle of looking on the needs of others and not our own needs. That is, instead of being worried about his own needs, he seems to be focused on Paul's need for comfort. And he's willing to travel all of the way now to Philippi in order to meet his needs. It is a selfless attitude that he has. That's more focused on somebody else than himself. That is, we see here his soon visit. Second thing you see about Timothy in this passage is his selfless mindset. Look now, if you would, in Philippians 2 and verse number 20, where the Bible says, for I have no man like-minded. When you said that word like-minded, it should stand out like a neon sign to you because it is a key word in this chapter. He says, for I have no man like-minded. Minded, that is, nobody else is any more like-minded what Timothy is. Notice now, and he defines more what he means by like-minded, who will naturally care for your state. You see, not only did Paul love these believers at Philippi, like a mother loves her children, but apparently Timothy was like-minded. That is, he had the same kind of mindset that the Apostle Paul had as well. And that is, he goes on and he says in verse number 21, and here's why. Here's why Timothy had this mindset. That is, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. In other words, notice with me here that Timothy is said to be like-minded. Remember in verse number 2 that when Paul first started this chapter, he said, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, that you have the same kind of mindset. That is, the same kind of attitude. That is, one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Chapter 1 and verse number 27. And the mind that he's talking about is the mind of Christ. In other words, he's saying all of you need to develop the same kind of attitude. And the attitude that he's talking about is the attitude of Christ. The attitude of Christ that motivated him to leave heaven's glory and to come and to be born and to live this life and to go to the cross and die for us. The same kind of selfless attitude that Jesus had. You need to have that same attitude. You need to be like-minded like Christ. And if you will, it will bring unity to your church and to your relationships one with another. And now he says to them a little bit later, he said, remember when I told you that you need to be like-minded? Let me give you a model of what that looks like. Let me show you the model of Timothy. He's like-minded. Timothy is. He's a like-minded person. Timothy that I'm going to send to you soon is an example of someone who is like-minded. He had the same kind of attitude that Jesus had. Timothy does. He's got the mind of Christ, or the same kind of attitude that Jesus had, the same kind of attitude that motivated the Lord Jesus to come to the earth and to live and to die for us is the same kind of attitude that Timothy had. It's an attitude that puts others first. It's the attitude of a servant. He says Timothy has that attitude. Just like Paul has that attitude, Timothy has the same mindset that Jesus had. The same kind of mindset that Paul had. Timothy is like-minded as well. That same selfless attitude that we see in verses 5 and 6, where Jesus would not selfishly cling to his deity for selfish purposes, but was willing to leave heaven's glory and take upon himself, upon his deity, humanity, and become a man. That same selflessness is demonstrated not only in Paul, but he says, I've got somebody else that has the same kind of attitude I do. Listen, this fellowship, this apostolic fellowship that we see in Paul, we see one big attitude among these guys, and it is the attitude of Christ, a selfless, sacrificial mindset. He says in verse 20, I have no man like-minded. He said, I don't have anybody else here that has the same kind of attitude. Apparently, Paul was running low on selfish people, selfless people. He said, I don't have anybody else that's like-minded, indicating that there was no other person that Paul knew that was with him in Rome that was like-minded as Timothy was. As a matter of fact, if you read in the first chapter of the book of Philippians, you'll find that apparently there were believers in Philippi that were preaching Christ, but they were motivated with a selfish motive, not a godly motive. And Paul says that whether they're preaching, you know, out of contention, trying to add more affliction to my bonds, or whether they're preaching with the right motive, as long as Christ is being preached, I'm not going to get upset. I'm going to glorify God as long as he is being preached, no matter what their motive is. What I'm trying to get you to see, that not everybody in Rome who claimed to be a believer was motivated by a selfless attitude. There apparently were some selfish and self-centered people who claimed to be believers there in Rome. Now, Paul had some other godly men that was with him, but apparently, according to other letters, apparently he sent those men out. The only guy that he had there that was really like-minded was this man named Timothy. And he was a man who was as like-minded as anybody that he had, who had this same kind of selfless attitude. You see, when it came to going to Philippi and finding out about these believers, knowing their state, Paul was looking for somebody who had the right attitude. And by the way, that's still true today as well. And that is that when God and God's men and God's people who know the Lord are looking for people who are willing to serve, that is those that are willing to be involved in ministry, not only are we looking for talent, but we're looking for attitude. There are a lot of talented people, ladies and gentlemen, who have nasty attitudes. What kind of an attitude does Timothy have? That is, he has a selfless attitude, that he's like-minded, a selfless mindset, and that's one of the requirements. Listen, you can be as talented as you can be, but if you are a selfish person, a self-centered person, and you're seeking glory for yourself, you will not be effective in ministry. You may wow everybody with your talent, but they'll never see Jesus over your big head. See, what God's looking for is people that have a selfless attitude. That is, that it's all about others and not about me. That is, a look on the needs of others before they ever worry about their own needs. And that's the kind of mindset that Timothy had. He was like-minded, had the same mindset that Paul had and that Jesus had. And that is, that he cared about these believers. According to the Bible that we just read in the verse that we just read in verse number 20, he said he'll naturally care for your state. In other words, this guy loves you and cares about you. He's more concerned about you and more concerned about me than he is about himself. He'll put himself on the line to travel all the way to Philippi just because he cares about you and just because he cares about Paul. You see, that's what it looks like to live out the Christ life, is that you care about others more than you do yourself. You're willing to put everything out. You're willing to do whatever it takes, even at your own cost and even at personal sacrifice, to help others and minister to others. You see, a lot of folks, and Paul explains this clearly in verse 21. This may be one of those verses you may want to put a note by or mark some way in your Bible. As Paul says, For all seek their own. The reason why the Timothy is the only one I have like-minded is because everybody else is seeking their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. He said, everybody else that I have here with me, they're self-centered. They're more concerned about what pertains to them and not what pertains to the Lord. They're not concerned about the things of God near as much as they are about themselves. They're more concerned about their own pocket. They're more concerned about their own pleasure. They're more concerned about their popularity and prosperity than they are about the things of God. They're seeking their own. It's just the opposite of what we find that Paul was trying to teach us in verse 4, where it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Listen, the exact opposite of that are these people that Paul is referring to that are seeking their own. They're doing the opposite of the message. But Timothy is like-minded in the sense that he's not seeking his own. He's not like this crowd that is seeking their own personal benefit above that which was of Christ. Or in other words, Timothy stood out among all of them because he did not seek his own, but instead he was seeking those things that are Jesus Christ, those things that belong to Christ. In other words, what he means by that, probably he's referring to the fact that Timothy was more concerned about exalting the name of Christ than he was his own name. We'll say that again. Timothy was a guy who was more concerned about exalting Christ's name than he was his own name. It's hard to believe that there would be anybody in the church at Philippi or in the church at Rome where Paul was at in Rome, that there would be anybody in those churches that would be more concerned about their own name and their own reputation than that of Christ. But maybe it isn't a surprise. Maybe we have the same issues in our lives as well. But this man was, that is, Timothy was more concerned about exalting the name of Christ than he was his own name. Do you know he was more concerned about edifying the church than he was himself? That is, when the Bible says here that there are those who are seeking their own and not those things of Christ, Timothy is the opposite of that. He's seeking Christ, that which belongs to Christ, above himself. He was more concerned about edifying the body of Christ than he was himself, building up the church instead of himself. He would at his own expense, using his own resources, his own time, sacrifice all of that for the purpose of building up other believers. He was more concerned about exalting the name of Christ and edifying the body of Christ. He was more concerned about evangelizing the world than he was about his own personal benefit. That's Timothy. He's demonstrating and modeling for us what it looks like, what this message of selflessness is about in this passage. See, it's not hard to figure out, is it? And that is, if I'm more concerned about the money that I have in the bank than I am about souls that are lost, then I'm not like Timothy, right? If I'm more concerned about what it's going to cost me, the time that it's going to cost me to minister to somebody, then I'm about the need of that person, then I don't look much like Timothy. He's got some clothes on that I don't have. He's dressed in something that I'm not dressed in. He's dressed in what Peter wrote about in 1 Peter chapter number 5, where it says that we need to put on humility, that we need to dress and be clothed in humility and selflessness. Instead, a lot of what I put on is selfishness and self-centeredness. What I'm trying to get you to see is the model that's standing before us in this passage. That is Timothy. This guy that's more concerned about what's going on in Philippi than he is about himself. The one who naturally cares about them, like Paul did. The one who's willing to travel all that way because he's not seeking his own. He's seeking those things that are Christ. He's putting the things of Christ ahead of his own personal need. You say, Pastor, you got to take care of yourself. Listen to me now. Number one in our life ought to be the things of Christ and not ourselves. Amen? You say you're going to wear out. No, I'd rather wear out than rust out. Amen? Wouldn't you? I mean, isn't there something that is more important than our own life? Let me make this statement to you and I'll move on to the last point. If you never discover that which is more important than your own life and your own personal benefit, you'll always be miserable in life. The most miserable person in life, ladies and gentlemen, is the self-centered person that cannot see beyond themselves. Miserable in life. If you want to discover the joy of living, then you have to discover, listen to me, that there's something bigger than you are. There's something more important than you are. Listen, you have to discover a servant's heart and a selfless attitude that focuses on the needs of others ahead of your own. It'll help you deal with your anxiety. It really will. Listen, it'll help you deal with the relationship struggles that you're having in your life. It'll transform your home. And listen, it'll make a church stand out to the community as a place where you want to go, because there are people there that will serve you and love you and care about you. We're talking about this model that's standing before us, a man by the name of Timothy. We've seen his soon visit, and he's willing to travel all the way to Philippi, not for his own benefit, but for others. Listen, we've seen his selfless mindset. He cares more about the things of Christ than he does his own things. And now notice with me, finally, his sacrificial service. Verse 22. But you know the proof of him, that is of Timothy. It says he's proved himself, and you know it. You know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Timothy had proven himself, folks. In other words, when Paul was writing to the believers at Philippi, he's saying, you know this guy, Timothy, and you know the proof of him. You know that what I'm telling you is absolutely right. You know all about his selfless mindset. You know all about his sacrificial service. As he has traveled with Paul and served with him in the ministry, Timothy had been proven to be a faithful, committed follower who was willing to serve sacrificially. Timothy was not only willing to put the comfort of Paul ahead of himself. He not only was willing to put the care of the Philippians ahead of himself, but he was also willing to put the cause of the gospel ahead of himself. That's right. The cause of the gospel. He served with Paul in the gospel, and he did so sacrificially, just like a son with a father. Now, whenever you see this reference here, when Paul refers to Timothy as his son, there are other places, especially in 1 and 2 Timothy, where he refers to him as his son, which seems to be indicating indeed the relationship they had as believers, that Paul may have been the one who led him to the Lord and helped him grow in the faith. That is, like a father helps a son grow. But it looks like the context here, that is, when he refers to him as a son to a father, it looks as though that he's referring to the fact that they were committed to the same task and that they were working together in the same business. How many of you remember a business, and none specifically, but do you remember a business and their business is still around that would have the name of the person who owned the business, whatever it is? I'm just going to use just a name. It could be Evans and Son. You remember seeing businesses like that that had the "and son" on the end of it? And you know the reason why is because most of the time, whenever a man builds up a business, most of the time his son and sometimes his daughters get involved in that business as well. And whenever dad gets to the point that he's not able to do the business no more, then the son is doing the business. He's taking over the family business. They're working together in the same trade, in the same business, doing the same thing. And even so, when Paul refers to Timothy here as being like a son to the father, he's referring to the fact that they're in the same business, that they're doing the same task, that they're working together side by side in relationship one with another. Listen, they're both committed to the same task, and that is the spreading of the gospel. That is, they're striving together for the faith of the gospel, just like chapter 1 and verse number 27 talks about. That is, Timothy is committed to the same thing that Paul is. That is, the cause of the gospel, spreading the gospel. And we find here that that's why he refers to him in the same way. That is, as a father is to a son, and as a son is to a father, even so it is to Timothy. And listen, these believers knew the proof of it. He said, listen, he's proven himself to you. You say, how in the world did they know that Timothy was that kind of a guy, that like a son with the father, he's serving right alongside of Paul and is committed to staying with him no matter what? How did they know that? And the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, is because when you study Acts chapter 16, you'll find that on the second missionary journey, when Paul, went to the city of Philippi. Remember, Paul went to the city of Philippi. He had Silas with him. They're the ones who ended up in the Philippian jail, remember, in Acts chapter number 16. But do you know that not only was Silas alongside of this man named Paul, but did you know Timothy was there as well? I won't take the time to read it. It will be here for a while. But if you'll read it in Acts 16, listen, if you'll read it in Acts 16, you'll find that Timothy was in Philippi with Paul and Silas. Some of you remember Philippi, don't you? We look at it every once in a while. When Paul got to Philippi, Lydia and some other women were meeting down there by the riverside for prayer, and Paul began to go down there and share the gospel with them. Lydia, the Bible says the Lord opened her heart. She got saved and was baptized in her household. We should assume that others did receive Christ as well. There's Timothy. You know who else was down there at the riverside with Paul and Silas? Timothy was there. And do you know that whenever that demon-possessed girl was mocking Paul and Silas as they went out to the riverside, do you know that Timothy was right there with him? He saw that little slave girl in Acts 16 mocking them. And that one day that Paul turned around and he rebuked the demon and cast the demon out of that girl, Timothy saw the demon leave her. He was there. And do you know that when Paul and Silas got arrested, you know who was waiting on them to get out of jail? He wasn't hiding away somewhere afraid, but he was waiting, praying. It was Timothy. You see, the Philippian jailer, Lydia and others, who may have become foundational people for the church in that area, they knew Timothy. And they knew that this guy was the real deal. That he was going to be committed no matter what. That he was going to serve even if it means sacrifice. Even if it means giving up his own personal resources. Even if it means being arrested like Paul was when he was in Philippi. Timothy is going to keep on serving. Now listen to me. If you see that in Timothy as we present him to you today, you're seeing a model of this very message that Paul's trying to preach. And that is, if you're going to serve God, you've got to have the same kind of attitude. And you got to live the same kind of lifestyle. Timothy is a model of selfless, sacrificial service. He's a model of a person who is willing to put the needs of others ahead of his own. He's a model of a person who's truly a real, genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's modeling the message that Paul is teaching. That is the message about living a selfless, sacrificial lifestyle. You say, Pastor, why was Timothy that way? I'd like to be like that. Why was he that way? Because he had Christ living on the inside of him. The Spirit of Christ living in him. The same Spirit that Paul had, he had living in him. And listen to me. If you've truly been saved, the same Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. And if you'll let Him, if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to dominate your life from the inside out, He'll give you the same kind of servant's heart. He'll develop in you the same kind of selfless attitude. Some of you are trying to figure out why it is that everywhere you turn, you face the same problem. Listen to me. It's because the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is trying to teach you to be selfless and sacrificial and to put the needs of others ahead of yourself. Now listen, he's not going to give up. You can try to be self-centered. You can try to be full of yourself, but he's going to keep putting you in those same circumstances where there are people there that you can't get along with, where there are people there that are confronting you, where there are people there that are just as hard-headed as you are. And listen, the reason why is because he's going to teach you to live a selfless, sacrificial lifestyle that puts the needs of others ahead of yourself. He's going to keep doing it. And he's not going to give up. Listen, the key to being like Timothy is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. His work in you being worked out in your everyday life. God's work in you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your truth and your people, and God, what you're trying to say to us. We thank you for the example you've set before us. God, the example of Timothy. God, I pray that you'll help us now as we come to this point, Father, of looking in our own hearts and our own lives. I pray that you'll deal with us for those that are lost. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit of God would convict their hearts and draw them to Christ. They might respond to the gospel. In these moments that we have, they might surrender everything to him. And God, for your people, those that you've saved, God, you're trying to teach us, God, to live a selfless life, to have a servant's heart that puts others ahead of ourselves. And so I pray, God, that you'd operate on us in such a way that, God, even in these moments that we have, Father, that we'll get things surrendered to you. God, that we'll quit trying to fight out of our self-centeredness for ourselves and surrender to you. Surrender ourselves to you in all that we are for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.